A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Life. Life is a 2017 American science fiction horror film directed by Daniel Espinosa and written by Reet Reese and Paul Wernick. It follows a team of scientists aboard the International Space Station who discover a rapidly evolving life form that they learn caused a complete extinction on Mars and now threatens all life on Earth.
Let me tell you something about Life.
Yes, mate.
I love it. But
it's a motherfucker.
Guys, okay. Sean loves Life and it's a motherfucker.
Let's talk about the movie. Well, some good names in that little, like Rhett Reese and Wernick. They're the guys who did, I think, Zombieland and Deadpool.
Okay, righto.
So this is a kind of weird one for them.
Yeah, that it's not the same tone at all.
Like, if you remove the Ryan Reynolds kind of snarkiness that's a little bit present, not to his usual standards.
No.
It's probably kind of his better, more subtle performances.
I actually agree. I was looking at his filmography recently and thinking, how many good performances does this man actually have that aren't just, like, fucking annoying? Like
the persona
that we know now, and it wasn't many.
I'll give you three.
But I didn't count this one in because I'd forgotten about it. Right. This has got to go in.
Yeah. So it's Life, it's both Deadpools. Like, you could argue that he's smug and smarmy, but he hits the brief, and that's unfortunately because he's good at Deadpool.
You've got to give him Deadpool. I think that's just, like, that's the peak of his powers.
I genuinely feel like you have to give him Van Wilder, Party Liaison.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'd forgotten about
great
that.
Great movie.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Two guys get on a pizza place.
Yeah.
I think you've also got to give him...
Firing on all cylinders.
I think you've got to give him The Proposal. His chemistry with Sandy B in that movie. Okay. Amazing.
Well, look, maybe he cooks more than we think.
Yeah, okay. It's a corny, dumb film, but I love it. I love The Proposal. I've seen that so many times. Yeah. Why? Great question.
Because you love a rom-com.
Because I love a rom-com and I love Betty White.
Yeah. I feel like with Ryan Reynolds, though, my kind of issue, if there is one, is that because he plays that same sort of sarcasm, irony, quippy him, who he really is, I find it really hard to take anything he does as a character seriously.
I agree completely.
Like, even in this role, which is a pretty serious flick, really. Yeah. Like, he's there to bring some levity to it. And obviously, he's there for the little twist that we think...
Very well done, too. I love a movie that puts all its marketing... Like, to a lesser extent, what's that? The Alien movie? Requiem? No, Alien...
like, the actual Alien movie?
No, the one that comes after Prometheus.
Covenant.
Yeah. Where a lot of the marketing is like, James Franco is the captain of the ship. Yeah, James Franco is the captain of the ship. Movie starts. Captain's dead.
Yeah, right.
Like, captain is dead at the start of the movie. And you're you cheeky fuckers. I like that as a move.
Yeah.
And I like here, where it's like, Ryan Reynolds is clearly the hero. They even set up, you know, Gyllenhaal's playing a bit of a moody shit.
You're like, okay, I
think I see the pattern here. Reynolds goes in to sort of help out. It's like, right, he'll deal with this, and they'll get out, and they'll have to deal with the next problem. Nah, dead.
Mm. Especially because he goes in the hero move.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to save that guy. So you're like, oh, well, you get reward for it.
Even going in hero mode, he's like, oh, fuck. Like,
Yeah, that might come up when we talk about foolish acts on this ship.
Yeah.
Dame, I don't know if you clocked the director, Daniel Espinosa. He's the director of Morbius.
Talk about foolish choices there, Daniel.
Are you kidding me?
And it's baffling, really, because you watch this and you think, man, this is very, very competent.
It's very good.
It's got a lot of, like, the Alien sort of movie tropes.
Yeah, but I think
probably not a lot to
knows
it
that's
new. Yeah, it knows what it's doing.
Yeah.
I think it just does it really, really effectively.
Yeah.
It's well directed. The act, like, this is a great cast of actors.
Yeah.
They're all fucking good. No one's weak at all. Mm. I think the cinematography of this is particularly good. And that I find interesting because the cinematographer, I think his name's Seamus McGarvey.
Okay.
And he's the cinematographer for the first Avengers movie.
Right.
And when that came out, he copped a lot of shit from a guy named Wally Pfister.
Yeah.
Who a long time ago was Christopher Nolan's go-to cinematographer.
And tried to make a movie.
Yes. And his movie Transcendence is a real piece of shit.
And now like
one of the genuine terrible movies that you watch.
Yeah.
But at the time that Avengers came out, he ripped into this guy and just was like so smug about, because he'd just come off doing like the Batman movies
and stuff.
And he was like talking about how shit the Avengers looked.
Yeah.
And you might look back at it now and there might be some stuff that like, you know, is a bit like, oh, okay.
Mm.
Avengers was fine. But I just think as a peer in that industry, he just ripped into this guy because he was like, well, I was nominated for an Oscar for Batman Begins and your comic book movie looks like shit. But then I'm happy because to see this guy do something like this,
yeah,
and he's gone on to do other great films as well.
Yep.
He's a good cinematographer.
For sure. Yeah.
Especially like, I think there's a 10-minute one-er that starts?
Eight minutes.
Yeah. It's awesome. There's so many good shots in this that are just incredible.
Well, even the shots, it's in that point where they're trying to repair the outside of the ship. Like all of that stuff, whenever they're outside the ship, is just so good. And even just the way they frame shots when people are looking for, what do they call it? Calvin?
Yes, Calvin. Yeah.
When they're looking for Calvin and just like they show you these big spaces and you're just looking at it being like, there are so many places that little fucker could be. So many places that little fucker could be.
I agree. I think it uses like the space setting and the space station setting really, really well, which like I could see in Lesser Hands could just kind of come off as bland and boring, but it never really does in this.
I think crucial to it too, it does a thing movies do I love where it shows you that space early on.
Right.
Like, and really, we go probably 25 minutes before anything bad happens.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's that kind of thing where-
It's awful because you learn that this crew, I care about them all.
Well, that's the great thing about it. Like, I read a review from this from someone, some prominent film critic in America, and they were kind of like, oh, it's just sad, and it's just 90 minutes of running away from this thing. I'm like, well, no, it's not. It is sad,
yeah.
It's not 90 minutes of running away. You get probably half an hour of things are good.
Yeah.
You know,
they're doing their science. They're excited.
They've discovered life on Mars. Everyone's smiling. Everyone's like, whoa, this is such a profound moment. And then life comes on the screen and there's nice music. And, you know, they're all hanging out. Hiroyuki Sanada has a baby.
Yeah.
Like, it's a family up there. It's really nice.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's not just 90 minutes of running away
from
the
monster. They have that great early moment where they're talking to the news reporter down on Earth and the kids there and sort of explaining who they are, what they're doing, and the fact that they've literally found alien life for the first time ever. And obviously works as exposition, and that's great too. But there is a line in there where you're like, well, we kind of have to be a family here because all our families are down there, so we have to be there for each other.
Yeah, does one of the kids ask, do you miss your family or something like that? And I think Jake Gyllenhaal's like, yeah, but I've got one up here too.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Nice. And I think, is he doing like, he's riding on the bike. Like,
right. Yes. Yeah, they're doing a triathlon.
They're doing a triathlon against each other, and Beck Ferguson's like, and I'm winning. And it's just like, there's a nice little bond here. And like, I think a kid's like to Hiroyuki, like, how do you go to the toilet up there? And he's like showing them the spaceship and stuff. That's cool. Or it's really cool. Mm.
It adds a level of authenticity to a movie. Like, that is the concept is ridiculous. It's they find life on Mars and it's a parasitic destruction, you know, evil creature, whatever.
Yeah.
But they ground it in reality because, you know, watching that space station, that if a trip went off now to do that, you could absolutely see where it's like, as part of your role on the ship, you're going to have to do video diaries for TikTok and Instagram. And we're going to get some kids to talk to you. Like, it just feels like that's exactly what that sort of thing would be. Where they'd be on the news. They'd be like doing the soft touch interviews on like a sunrise where it is a joke. Like, oh, who's winning the triathlon? Like dumbing down the science. Like, everything about it feels so authentic.
Yep.
In that early part. Mm. And then what's really great is they give you, what I particularly love is often in, and look, it sometimes works in some movies. I think of something like No One Will Save You, where the aliens are humanoid-ish, but they're still a little bit wrong. But this is like pure alien creature in that it doesn't look like anything.
Yeah.
Like it just looks like a butterfly with tentacles maybe.
Sure.
And I guess that's the nature of the creature is it grows and changes, but just it looks completely alien, which again, gives it another level of reality that we found life on Mars, but it doesn't look like anything.
It kind of to me made me think of like, have you seen an amoeba?
Yes,
which is like a single cell. Yeah, it kind of looked like a giant version of that, which I think is great because they also can like completely change their form in lots of ways. They're not really like fixed. And I think, that's terrible. We've talked about this before. We'll get to it for the Were We Scared. But like a monster that keeps evolving, keeps changing, means that you're never safe. Even when you think you've clocked it, doesn't matter. It's going to go to its next form.
The evolution's awesome too.
Yeah.
I think, you probably get the best look at it when Hiroyuki jumps into the like the escape right. pod.
Yep.
And it's trying to like crush it essentially, yeah. and it's just sort of it's staring
stretched
at
all
him.
The way out.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just sort of it's almost like got like a frill neck lizard sort right. of thing going on yeah. as well. It yeah, looks so cool.
While we're on the believability, one thing I wanted to talk about, I was watching this at the start and I was sort of at some point I'm like, hold on. How do they film this anti-grav stuff? Like, what's the trick here? So I looked it up, and sure enough, they're all on wires. Is the trick? They're suspended on wires, and they digitally remove them later. But I think both whoever's doing the wires and the actors themselves, the fact that they're acting while consistently swinging around on wires, like for a good most of the movie, they are swinging around having to act.
Yeah.
Like you'd sort of have to have a second of that. You're like, hold on, no, that's very impressive.
Physically impressive
yeah.
as well as the acting component.
Because they just look chill, they look calm, but actually this wire is fucking swinging you
they
around the
so
room.
They look so relaxed. Like right. Even hearing that there's a wire attached, I still don't quite know how they,
that's yeah, bonkers.
How they do that.
And the fluidity of it, like yeah, who's doing the wires is like for it to not to go smacking into the wall.
I think it's during the big oneer at the start. Ryan Reynolds is outside trying to catch the thing, right?
Yeah.
And then the camera moves around at one point and Hiroyuki's just sort of like almost like sitting on the roof.
Right.
Like even just pulling that off is crazy. I started yeah. to feel a bit dizzy watching it. I'm
yeah,
like,
sure. I see that.
Fuck, he's upside down. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this after Gravity?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
Yes.
I think Gravity was about 2013. I could be wrong.
So is that like, I guess, the tech in... That.
The tech has probably got better.
And that's probably...
It's pretty good in Gravity.
I mean, and that's what I mean. Like, Gravity walks so life can run.
Yeah.
Although Gravity's running too. So, Gravity runs so life can sprint.
Mm, yeah. Oh, one other thing about the Daniel Espinosa of it all is that when it came out, a lot of people thought...
Yes.
Because of the ending, that this was like a backdoor thing, as in like a setup for the Venom movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Like literally, I remember this theory so strong to the point where when I first saw the trailer, it was on a post where someone was like, oh my God, we're finally getting a Venom movie?
Yeah.
Which we did. Fucked us.
Probably a better one than what they would have done.
I think it's... I'm glad it's not, because obviously the tonal difference between this and Venom is
different. To Tom Hardy's Venom? Yeah, very different.
That's what the question I have then, was that ever a thing? Like, where did that rumor come from? Was it just a bunch of fanboys on the internet?
Probably fanboys on the internet. Yeah, but it wouldn't shock me if Sony were kind of like, we'll just see how this plays out.
Well, yeah, we'll let it live a little bit and see how it goes.
But you're right, the tone is like, you would have to create a movie that fits into that. I mean, you probably wouldn't. Sony can do whatever the fuck they want, and they probably do.
I mean, they made Morbius, so...
Yeah, wow, there it is. I was actually surprised by the tone of this thing. I think, one, because of Ryan Reynolds, but two, it's like Hollywood.
Yeah.
I was expecting sort of a bit more... I don't know, tongue-in-cheek. A bit more like, like lightness and sort of your usual sort of Hollywood action, I guess, rather than horror.
Yeah.
But it is horror. And like I said, it's actually got a little bit of heart in there, which I really appreciated. And so, the tonally was actually quite like more serious than I was expecting.
Maybe that's the little difference to it, I guess, from some of the other films in that genre that it's sort of trying to mimic a little bit.
Yeah.
I just did a quick little detective search to see if there's anything, and there's an interview with Reese, the writer, who's just like, no, it's just not.
Yeah.
People are like, yeah, but there's a lot of fan theories, and he's like, yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. It's just not that.
Whereas like, if this was a Zack Snyder movie, like long after the fact, he would have been like, oh, yeah, it's...
Oh, no, the fans got it right.
Venom's in one of the shots. You can see him.
You can see him. There's a character in it named Reddy, and that's kind of Eddie Brock. One of the actors, you don't see this in the film, but in a bio that I wrote about him in my notebook, his favorite Pokemon trainer is Brock, and that is also a reference to Eddie Brock.
Life is in the same universe as Army of the Dead.
Yeah, of course.
Sean's reacting. Earlier today, Sean read an article where Zack Snyder was like, my new movie, Rebel Moon, takes place in the same universe as Army of the Dead. I'm a big fucking idiot.
Oh, you said that in the interview.
It's really weird. Wow. It's very candid.
I'm a fucking idiot.
Very honest of him, I guess.
Very candid. Like, man, shut up, Zack.
Whatever.
While we're still in the early stage of the film as well, I think one thing that I liked and appreciated and thought, oh, that's an interesting thing to include, how Neil was revealed to be paraplegic.
Yeah.
So at the start, we obviously don't know. But again, in space, it wouldn't matter.
It doesn't matter, no.
And so I love that. I think that's just such a nice, again, when it comes to film and writing and all this sort of stuff, it's all about the choices you make. And I just think that's a good, interesting choice.
Yeah.
That, I don't know, makes you connect with the movie that just that inch more than if he was just able-bodied.
Yeah. It's just a nice, again, it just adds that layer of authenticity. It means that by the time things go bad, you've invested emotionally with all of these people. Because the performances are good, you buy it from all of these people. You invest in the relationships. You don't want anything bad to happen to them. which is what we love in a horror movie, where we start giving a shit about people and then things start going horribly wrong, which means that when they make big sacrifices, like Haruki's is, I'm trying to think of who's the biggest sacrifice. Gyllenhaal's is pretty big.
Gyllenhaal, I think.
But Haruki's is when he's trying to stop the other ship from basically coming out, and then inadvertently is like, I'll come and do this. And Calvin's like, I'm going to come too.
Yeah. You want a friend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, so you, each time these characters have to make this big choice to be like, I've got to do this or otherwise we're all doomed. It just adds this gut punch of weight to it being like, fuck, another one.
And more importantly, you believe it because you've seen them as the family they are. Like, so as well as not only the family they are, that they are all logical people who fully recognize how dangerous this thing is and how bad it's going to be for Earth if it makes Earth. And so they're not doing it just for them, just for like-
survival.
So yeah, they're doing it for the survival. Like, and again, not even in like sort of your overblown Armageddon sort of way, right? Where you're like, that's fine.
I love it. There's a place for Armageddon.
Exactly right.
5 stars.
But I kind of like, these are scientists and they're looking at it with that scientific mindset. And they're like, yeah, we cannot let this happen because it's going to equal potentially the end of human life on Earth.
See, this proves that Michael Bay's movie is a little bit ridiculous, because if you train a bunch of drillers on how to look after a space creature, they wouldn't do it logically. Bruce Willis would try to punch that creature in the face.
Yes, Armageddon is only a little bit ridiculous.
Yes, only a little bit.
Yeah.
The rest of it holds up 100%.
Yeah. 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Boys, where are we scared?
Yeah, it's fucking creepy as shit,
man. This is a fucking cooker.
Yeah. Great design, like you said. And like we said, we can't really get our head fully around it. I also love how quickly it grows. Yeah. Like, as soon as, obviously, once it gets that rat.
That rat. That is a grotty scene.
The grot.
Poor rat.
I did also have the thought, I'm like, it's so crazy to me that rat doesn't know it's in space.
Yeah.
That rat is in space.
It is do interesting.
Animals, yeah, do animals not know they're in space?
I mean, this dog barely knows where
he doesn't know
right
where
now.
He is right now, yeah.
Man, that just makes me sad, because now I think about Laika, the dog.
Right.
And,
but you, like, what's interesting about seeing that rat just get, you know, fucking covered and destroyed.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, and then once it grows, that's what it will do. That's what it can do to humans.
Exactly right.
It's just going to wrap around you and suck everything out of you.
Yeah, it literally is like, the movie's called Life because it is just absorbing all life.
What's the antithesis of life? It is, life is this, and this thing is something
it's
else.
It's just an absorber of life, yeah. And then also, I think it played really well because you, obviously we know we're watching a horror movie, so there's the sense of danger already. But when Neil is like got it in like the little chamber or whatever it is, and he keeps playing with it, and then you're like, oh, look, it's reaching out. It's touching me. Oh, it's on my finger. And you're like, buddy,
yep.
What are you doing?
He just got, it was a science boy who just went too far.
Yeah, he just loved the science.
Yeah. And like, as a science boy, did this tickle your?
Oh, 100%. Like, again, I think because they've come at it in such a scientific mindset of life isn't, oh, we found some alien egg like from Alien. They're like, no, it's a tiny, tiny cell that you need a microscope for, like they explained to the kids. Like, that is way more, that I can believe. You know what I mean? Like, for Mars, for the climate it is and everything that it sort of, that it's not really, like, yeah, life cannot exist on that environment. It just cannot. There's like barely an atmosphere. But potentially this like obviously there are extremophiles that live in like volcanoes and live in the Arctic shelf and all this sort of stuff. So these tiny, tiny, tiny single-celled things that have managed to evolve to these extreme environments. So like having that as the choice, I thought, brilliant. Having it then, like, the way they woke it up, okay, even the fact that they have to wake it up, like, a lot of organisms do hibernate in various ways. So, like, that kind of plays really well. And then the way it's like, okay, and then its life cycle is to just grow.
Consume.
As quickly as possible. Consume and grow. So, like, 100%. I was like, this is really great. They put enough thought in there. Like, I think with science fiction, the trick isn't to get the science 100% right, because it's fiction. The fiction needs to exist in there as well. But the trick is to give enough that it feels right.
Yeah.
It feels like you've gotten 10% accurate. You could go, oh, that fact's real, that fact's real. And then the rest of it we're there for because you've set up enough of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I 100% think these writers did exactly that.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
It's when you talk about that, there's that, what's that creature, tardigrades, that can live in space?
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
like, what do they call them? Space bears or something? Yeah, I'm like, fuck, what is this? Yeah. Mate, you know about space bear?
No.
Is it called space bear? Is that sort of
a- get a photo up.
Right, I'm going to get a photo of a tardigrade.
They're kind of
man.
Weirdly adorable.
Okay.
You would have seen it-
Until they rip your face off?
No, no.
No, they're tiny.
Tiny, there. You wouldn't
They'll get, rip
you
your face
you
off.
You cannot see them with a human
eye. They'll fucking do it. They'll find it. Life finds a way.
They're these, right? like, they again, because we can't help but anthropomorphize anything, they kind of look like chubby little six-legged bears.
That's tardigrade.
For lack
what
of a better word.
What the fuck?
It's tiny, yeah. mate.
So that's under a microscope.
That's, yeah. That's
what the heck? Like tardigrades is what this article says.
That is psycho.
That'll be an electron microscope. Yeah, that'll be. Yeah,
that's
yeah. Wow. But they can live literally in the vastness of space, just floating through space.
In a vacuum. Tardigrade nickname? Water bear.
Water bear.
Water bear, not space bear. Yeah. Space bear's way cooler than
that. Yeah, space bear sounded really cool.
NASA, we've got a suggestion for you.
They look a little bit like this one here looks like the caterpillar from A Bug's Life.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Heimlich.
The Austrian one, yeah.
Chunky little boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, maybe I want to come back as a tardigrade.
It's so funny how humans can just go, yeah, that's cute. I've decided it's cute. Yeah. I like it now. Yeah. Just because it somewhat resembles like a dog or whatever.
Tardigrade on finger. What? Oh, it's a ring. Okay. I was like, there's no way you can have a tardigrade on your finger.
Well, you can. You just can't see it.
Yeah.
So back to the scares. There was also in that scene where Neil's playing with it and everything like that and then like gets his hand. Again, that glove is shit. What are you doing? Like, no. That's a really good glove. It's clearly like fucking plastic or whatever. Like, what are
you doing?
That's
a strong glove, man.
It's a strong glove. And then the way it's like wrapped, it's just like, it doesn't even need to get into the glove initially. It is like snapping his hand.
Yeah.
And then when he brings the hand out and it is just flopping.
Yeah.
It's filthy. Hated it, man.
Yeah. That really whole sequence where it's got him locked in there is such a great little set piece because it's quite a long sequence where he's before he pulls the hand out when he's just stuck.
Like he initially panics, they tell him to calm down, so he calms down, and then it gets fucking worse.
Yes,
and it's just pain.
But there's a bit too where he sort of relaxes and it starts to relax too, and he's like, okay, good.
Well, he tries to distract it. He's got
the electrode knife thing.
It's like a sharp thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He holds that, it nearly goes for it, and then it lost interest, and he's just like, oh, fuck,
even
what do
though,
I do?
Like, yeah, well, like, maybe we should get to our next question. Do our characters act wisely or foolishly?
They do.
No, initially they just don't, because to be honest,
too horny for
science. Once it breaches the glove, they should just be like, sorry, but he's a write-off.
Yeah.
I don't know what they can do. Can they open,
but some of them
can
are
they open the door and
that.
Suck everything out of that little lab?
Don't know if they had
can
a,
they burn
a
the lab?
Well, that's what they do. They use the they burn it with the fire thing.
But that did nothing to it.
It doesn't kill it. And then it just goes into the fire escape, that vent that is for the fire breach thing.
Yeah, I don't know if that lab did have a airlock sort of
You would
thing.
Think it would.
Well, it has an airlock from outside. There's the airlock
to
get
but
in.
Not one to outside.
But not one to vent out. Yeah.
To vent,
that seems like a flaw in the design.
Well, I think they assume they're not going to find hostile life. Right? That's the assumption. The assumption is that we build a lab.
And it's so small initially.
But also we build a lab
based
on the things we have on Earth. And this thing isn't from Earth.
No, but are they anticipating finding life or are they just looking at soil samples?
I mean, I guess the hope would be life for sure. That's why you'd be looking
at
soil samples.
To me, they didn't plan it. There needs to be a fucking airlock that just sucks everything out.
Yeah, yeah.
Although it would probably have found a way to cling on to them.
Well, it does to, what's his name? When they just find his body floating through the ship and it's inside his leg.
Awful. Yeah, I hated that.
It's bad. I think the thing is they make a couple of mistakes early, but they're not like crazy mistakes because they're dealing with something outside of the realm of their understanding.
Right.
From that point on, I think they actually do make some great calls. The problem is none of it works.
I would say they're mostly logic over emotion, which again, I always, for any horror movie, you don't need emotion in some horror movies and people are people, we're emotional creatures. But there is part of me that loves to go, all right, let's play it out if it's just purely done on logic. Will they win? Will this thing just be too powerful nonetheless? And I think this mostly plays as that, which, yeah, for me is fun. It's like, cool, they're mostly acting wise. They're using their big old science brains to try to logic their way out of this thing and contain it and destroy it in a multitude of ways. The one time they give into emotion is Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
And that's what kicks the whole thing off. If they hadn't been emotional to begin for that one moment, maybe this all could have been avoided.
But Gyllenhaal's going to give into emotion as well. It seems to be he and Ryan Reynolds who are very much like to Beck Ferguson. What the fuck are you doing? We've got to get in there and help
right.
him. I mean,
because that's what her job is. Is
she's defense.
What she it's like critical response something. I think
her thing was like, imagine the very worst thing that could ever happen. That's right. That's what's going on in her head constantly.
Yeah, yeah. Love
how
that.
Do I stop this? She's a great character and she acts pretty well. But like, I just feel like once it breaches the glove, if they hadn't gone in there to save him, it still would have fucked up the ship or whatever and got its way out, right?
I think so, because it would have got the rat, obviously. It would have eventually eaten him.
Yeah.
In which case, yeah, it's, now it's pretty it's enormous. Big. Yeah.
And also, then it's quite strong. Like, it would just punch through the vent.
Right.
Like, even the decisions they get to a point where they kind of have a little win where it's outside. And
yeah.
It's in the vents. And they're like, great, it's in the thrusters, we're fine.
Yeah.
But then the problem is, because it's in the thrusters now, the space stations are decaying orbit. And it's like, right, if we turn the thrusters on to rebalance our orbit, we'll let it back in.
Right.
But if we don't turn the thrusters on, we'll crash on Earth with it inside us.
Yes.
Like, they just, every time they solve a problem, the writing creates another one.
It's really good. And I also like that the problem isn't like, oh, we might die. They're actually, it feels like, all willing to make that sacrifice.
Yep. 100%.
They are astronauts. They know what they are signing up for, which I really respect. But the problem is, unfortunately, the orbit is so close to Earth, it's going to head back down.
Correct.
So if they, like, I fully feel like for these characters, if they could push the orbit in the other way so that they and even their expensive space station and this alien all got lost in space, great, they would have made that choice.
Yeah.
But it never really eventuated in that way.
It's very funny, too, that shuttle comes out for what they're like, oh, it's a rescue mission, and then they very quickly realize, oh, no, it's going to push us, it's pushing us deeper into space.
Yeah. Great, because it should.
Like, it knows what it's doing, and then Haruki's like, great, I'm going to go be like, okay, fuck, and then he fucks it because he goes over there. But again, he's making his intent behind doing what he does makes sense.
Yeah.
Even, what's the name of the other woman on board who ends up outside the ship, who's then like, I'll just let go.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll die so that, fuck, her death is fucking brutal. She drowns.
Yeah, she drowns. That is so rough.
But she's
she's locking the door. She keeps locking. And they're like, no, you've got to turn the other way. No, she knows exactly what she's doing.
She's trying to lock the door because she's like, if I go back
she's
in.
She's like the captain, right? I
think
she was. She's the leader,
Again, everyone makes, from maybe that first initial bit, which causes, I guess, the kicking over of the stones.
Right.
That's a bit unwise. But I feel like every decision they make, like even, we've talked about a lot. Even the ending is the correct choice.
Right.
One of us takes it into space. Yeah. One of us lands. That's it.
Yep.
Great. Perfect. And then the movie's like, hey, fuck you.
Gonna flip that script.
It's a massive fuck you.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Bad guys win always hurts.
Yep. It does. It really does hurt.
I think this movie, it absolutely works for the movie.
Yeah, it does. I will say I've got one little beef in The Wise or Foolish in that I think the alien is too wise. How is it so? Like, if it is like amoeba-ish, you're like, okay, I don't know what your brain size is. And so, like, literally, it is figuring out mechanics of this environment. Like, it's figuring out, oh, I've got to turn this thing this way. I've got to sneak through this thing. Like, it seems too intelligent to me.
It learns
very quickly.
And again,
it's an alien, so, like, who knows, right?
You're approaching it from human intelligence, are you?
Or just any kind of mammalian, I suppose, or Earth intelligence of any kind.
Movies.
Yeah. And, like,
it's got movie brain. And also, it's that thing, too, that I love, is that it is... They don't know how fast it learns, but they learn in that first initial bit that it learns pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like, even the fact that it's like, oh, no, I'm not going for the knife. I'm not fucking stupid.
Right.
Does it learn from contact with people as well? Like, I guess we don't know.
As in if it absorbs their knowledge.
Possibly,
and memories.
Yeah.
Because, to me, I'm like, this is literally, for this thing, this is the most foreign environment it could ever have.
Yeah.
Human inventions are not inherently logical, especially big ones like those where they're like so...
Is it absorbed Ryan Reynolds' knowledge?
Like, maybe, but if that's the case, I don't know that I love that personally. Again, I've just got to let it go. It's like I said, it's an alien, whatever. But part of me is like, God, this thing is like knowing, like even just to work a fucking door handle. Like, come on.
To be fair, we
Science
also don't
boy,
know...
not happy.
He's not happy.
I respect it.
To be fair, we don't know what the life on Mars was like before it wiped it out too.
No, we don't. But again, this thing was a single cell a second ago. And now it is like got complex thoughts and like, I don't
because
know.
It's an alien.
Yeah, it's like Alien is the answer for that.
I'm on Team Alien.
Okay.
He did all the right things.
Right.
Good on him.
Also, like, I suppose he's jumping back of a sector where we scared. Gyllenhaal in the thing, while it is like,
yep,
coming on him. Mm. And then when the guys on Earth open it up and it is like, I don't even know what it is. Again, yeah, that's the whole point.
Utterly fucked at that
point. And he's just like, his face screaming.
He's like mummified in there trying to tell them not to open it.
Just that. The shot too of like he's trying to like pilot the thing and it starts attacking his hands.
Yeah.
Fucks him up. The ship crashes. And then the way they do the trick of both ships spinning.
Right.
You see sort of Ferg looking out. She's breathing. Yeah, you're like, okay, what's happening here? Then you see Gyllenhaal's like slowly being absorbed and fucking venomed.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rhett. The way they pull that off and you're watching it and you're like, they're not going to be cunts. No. Are they?
Oh, big time.
And then like you get that. It's when the shuttle hits the water and you get that shot of the thing spinning and the breathing, and then you're like, oh no, Ferg's in Ferg's in space.
Everyone gets
heartbreaking because then she's like, you see the moment,
not my Ferg, that hurts. Oh, she's screaming, it's just spinning away.
Yeah,
it's got big. Her reaction to realizing that she's fucked has big scene in The Dark Knight where Maggie Gyllenhaal realizes that she's not going to be saved.
Right.
Just that, like, I do love that scene because the whole way through they're like, yep, it's going to be you. And she's like, I know it's going to be me. I just need you to calm down. And then when he's like, you hear him being like, no, don't save her, she's like, oh, it's heartbreaking. Ferg has the same thing, just this realization of like, I'm dead and that, oh no, we fucked it.
I don't think she takes it quietly though. She's screaming, no, scream.
But it's the horrible moment of, when I say quietly, it's the same thing, that moment of like, just as it hits her, there's just that moment of like, oh, no.
Yeah. Brutal stuff. Boys. How are we doing this?
Oh, we are dead, baby.
What are we even doing up there?
We are dead.
Yeah, we're dead for sure. Yeah.
But we don't go in the room.
No, I don't think that matters.
I do.
You know the thing that, so you know when Hiroyuki's hiding and he jumps into the pod?
Yep.
Is that an escape pod or is that just like a sleep pod?
Well, he's trying to get over to the pod.
No,
so
that's
he can,
a sleep pod.
A sleep pod. Okay. Damn. There's a part of me that's like, maybe we can jump in those and get the fuck out of there. But
yeah.
That's such a tragic shot too. He's got the little pictures of his family there.
Oh, yeah. Man. Even this, the poor bastard wasn't there for his kid's birth. Like, you assume they got pregnant after he got, subscribed or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, again,
it's fucking brutal.
I thought you were about to say he wasn't there for the birth of his kid because she got pregnant after he went into space. And I was like, well, damn it then. Technically, he wasn't there for the birth of his kid at all. I've got a fun thing to tell you about how babies are made. We'll have a chat after this episode.
Okay, I'm very curious.
This feels like a no escape situation.
Big time. Big time.
We just die.
But we're astronauts, three astronauts here.
Yes, we've done the training.
I think we just go, we're going to push it out as far as we can.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, that'll save the day, right?
Can we blow up the space station? To not get it on Earth.
Yeah.
I think we are dead regardless.
Yeah.
For sure. So I think, if we can blow up the space station, push it out into space, whatever.
Yeah.
That's the only real win I can see.
How long can it survive outside of...
Pretty fucking long, dude. It was living on Mars as a single cell.
This is the issue then, because also it's just going to eat all of us. It's going to get bigger and bigger and then just float to Earth.
Yeah. And it never really sort of talked about how this thing reproduces. Mm. So it feels like a giant single cell to me.
You know what though? Sorry, just quickly. I feel like to survive re-entry into Earth, it's got to be inside a ship or something though, right?
No, they said this thing can survive re-entry. Like they pointed that out a few times.
Because it's inside the thrusters and they pump the thrusters and it doesn't die.
Yeah, it is it is an extremophile. It can handle anything.
Everyone's fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can even destroy it. Mm. I don't think blowing up the ship actually destroys it.
Okay, so we've got to actually turn the space station around and just blast it as far away as we can. So that it can't float
to Earth.
It gets too far away and
I don't know if we can get far enough away.
Here's a question. Can we shoot space with a gun? Can we just kill all of space?
Okay.
It'd be pretty good.
I mean, I reckon that's the way to go.
There's no way to beat this thing.
No, there's not.
No.
That's a pretty...
So, like, say it gets to Earth. So, what is it? Just indestructible?
Yep.
Yeah. It's going to very quickly wipe out all of Earth. And this is where I'm like, how much does it replicate? How much does it, like... Because that was another thing I thought. If this thing can grow from a single cell, if it can...
Split. There's two of them.
Then there's really no... Then there's, like, absolutely no...
In the famous words of the Trade Federation, oh, no. Now there are two of them.
So, yeah, life is bleak.
Hey, boys. Yeah. Would you say that life... finds a way to kill you.
Yes.
Absolutely it does.
Yeah.
I would also say that's all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you scary listeners like this show, would like to help us out, you can, of course, head over to patreon.com/scaryboys and become a patron for just $5 a month. That's $5 Australian. For everyone else, that's even cheaper. So I have to think about that.
Yeah, dollars fucked.
Yeah. We're in a real bad way right now. And you guys can benefit from that. otherwise, if you'd like to help us out, you can leave us a review wherever you listen. That does help a bunch. Or if you want to send us an email to say hi recommend a movie or all that other good stuff, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at @SkettyBoysPodcast or on Twitter at @SkettyBoys. Or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I am screaming in space.
I'm also screaming in space.
Hey, good for you, boys. Doing it together. Love
that.
Stay scared, everyone.
Chunky little boys.